Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got an awesome show for you guys today. Only one more sleep until the NFL draft. We got you covered with a lot of draft content today. Coming up on the show, our guy Ryan Horvath going to join us to talk NFL draft. I also will give out the top 10 picks that I think are upcoming in the NFL draft as well. We'll have Chase Kitty join us later on to talk NBA playoffs. We also will give out some bets for tonight in the hardwood. We'll look at the Stanley Cup playoffs as well, give out some best bets on the ice, and also we'll give out our card for the Zurich Classic for the PGA Tour event that takes place tomorrow as well. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, chime into the show. Let us know any picks, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us. Send them in at the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, or on X as well. And if you guys miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glass is in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with the co-host of BetMGM Tonight, which you can catch right here on the BetMGM Network, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our guy, Ryan Horvath. Make sure you give him a follow on X at Ryan Horvath. Ryan, we were talking before the show, man. This is your Super Bowl. You live for the NFL draft. So had to have you on this week to break it down. Let's start right now with Ashton Jeanty, because he's pretty much the guy that everybody's talking about, Ryan. He continues to get more and more hype as we get closer to the draft. Right now, he's minus money to go to Jacksonville at number 5 overall. Do you believe the steam? Like, do you think this is going to happen? The Jags are going to end up getting Jeanty at 5?
Yeah, man, it's going to be really interesting to see what goes on, right? Because I love Ashton Jeanty. Outside of Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, I think he has the highest ceiling. I love this running back class, but I think it's like Jeanty, Omarion Hampton, everybody else, right? So I could see him being a top 5 pick. The only thing that I keep going back and forth on, man, is if you take him top 5, he is already the 6th highest paid running back in the league. Usually the reason you draft a running back, right, is because you get him on the cheap the first couple years of his contract. And we see this with running backs, like why Saquon went to Philadelphia, why the Giants didn't want to pay him, why Derrick Henry ended up in Baltimore. Is usually, you know, the thinking is you have a good offensive line, you have 2 really good tackles, 1 really good tackle. You could kind of stick anybody in the backfield in the right offensive system. But Jeanty is just an absolute stud, man, right? Like, he had 106 broken tackles last year, which were 56 more than second place. He had 163 forced missed tackles, beat out the second guy by 43. He was the only running back in college football to go over 1,000 yards on carries that featured a broken tackle. And he also had 11 touchdowns on such carries. People have brought up, like, you know, pass protection. He's an every down back, a 3 down back. You don't have to take him off the field. And 2 years ago at Boise State, He had a 91.6 receiving grade and had like 42 or 43 receptions. So I think he's a do-it-all back. I do think that that would be the smart pick for Jacksonville. They need help on the defensive side of the ball. But Adam Schefter came out on ESPN yesterday morning, and he said he doesn't expect them to take Mason Graham, who the Jags have been mocked to take for like the last month or two. So I think it could be Jeanty, maybe an outside shot. It's Tet McMillan. I know they already have Bigsby and Etienne in that backfield, but Liam Cohen takes over as head coach. Look how he used his backs last year in Tampa Bay, man. Like Tucker, White, and then Bucky Irving, who was the stud. All three of them had a role. I mean, there were times where they were on the field together. So I think he could get really creative. I do think Jeanty's the pick at number 5 overall. What's going to be interesting, though, is does a team like Chicago, maybe a team like Denver, look to move up and get Jeanty? But I think right now that's the smart bet. That said, though, Peach, as you know, man, like you could have had better prices last week, the week before. So I don't really want to bet it at, you know, minus 110, minus 115, even money. I wish I would have got to that a little bit earlier. But I do think Jeanty is a top 5 pick, and I do think he's either in Jacksonville or Chicago.
What do you think ends up happening with Shador, Ryan? Because we've seen a lot of movement on him as well. It felt like he was going to be a Saint, right? The New Orleans Saints were minus money to draft a QB at 9. He was plus 160 to go to New Orleans. Now the co-favorites to land Shador are the Steelers and the Browns at plus 250. It feels like a lot of these teams are either going to trade back into the first round or they're just going to wait until the early second round to maybe get a guy like Shador or Jackson Dart. So how do you see Shador kind of playing out in the draft? And then what do you make of the market on BetMGM of over under 2.5 quarterbacks being selected in the first round? Do you think we only see one or two quarterbacks taken?
Great question, man. I think we get two, right? Like last week, the week before, I was kind of buying the smoke, you know, and I would have said over 2.5 quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shador, and then Jackson Dart. And I know Jalen Milroe, you know, Milroe will be in attendance. He'll be in Green Bay, but I think he's, if anything, maybe a mid-second round pick, maybe even a day 3 pick. Somebody's going to talk themselves into him because he's an absolute stud. He came out this week and said he's faster than Lamar Jackson. I saw people comparing him to Mike Vick. I think that's crazy talk. But I do like his ceiling, man, as a project, as a guy that could, you know, sit behind a quarterback for a couple years. Jackson Dart, like, you know, we love that Ole Miss team coming into the season. We're Lane Kiffin guys. Was there a more quarterback-friendly offense, though, like, you know, this season in college football with all those weapons? I'm just not there with Jackson Dart. And I know that, you know, I'm hearing that Brian Daboll is a Jackson Dart guy, that Kellen Moore and the Saints could be in the Jackson Dart business as well. But I think it's Shador to the Saints or Shador to the Steelers. I think we get two quarterbacks, not three. I think Dart's probably a day 2 guy. Both of these guys could be day 2 guys, right? Because the Giants, the Saints, they're all going to have these early second round picks so they could trade back up and get their guy after taking best player available. But man, like Shador, for the last 12 months, 13 months, he was quarterback number 1 on everybody's board. And I get the knocks on him, right? Doesn't run the fastest 40. Everybody wants the dual threat Josh Allen type quarterback. That's why Cam Ward's going. He doesn't throw the best deep ball. But man, as an intermediate passer, I don't think there's anybody better in this draft than Shador Sanders. I know some of the mechanics aren't great, and I know that there's some worry, like, you know, about his attitude off the field and Deion and this and that. I don't think he slips out of the first round, man. I would think that he ends up in Pittsburgh with the Saints, or the Giants take him early, you know, maybe in the second round. They got to go out and get a quarterback. So I think that it's Cam Ward and it's Shador in the first round. I would go under 2.5 right now on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, that's moved from plus 310 to minus 105 for the under 2.5. So the market certainly agrees with you. What about the wide receiver market, Ryan? This one has also seen some movement with Tet McMillan. He was minus 250. Then he goes down to like minus 135. Now he's back up to minus 250. I saw this morning you tweeted out you like Matthew Golden under 17.5. So talk to me through your process, how you see the receiver market playing out. Do you think Golden possibly could go ahead of Tet McMillan?
I did take a little stab on that at plus 165, Golden to be the first wide receiver selected. But, you know, then today I came back around, man, and even though it's minus 250, like these aren't bets I'm going to make in Major League Baseball or hockey. But in the draft, if you get information, I'll make them and I'll lay like anything up to like minus 300 if I feel really good about the bet. And the more I think about McMillan, man, Jacksonville could take him. The Raiders can take him. I think the Saints, even without a quarterback, can take him because of the size and the frame. He's 6'4", 219 pounds. He could go up, make plays across the middle. He wins downfield. You know, he could go up and grab the 50-50 balls. I think he's going to be a legit threat in the red zone, 8 to 10 touchdowns, maybe even his rookie year if paired with the right offensive play caller and quarterback. So I think he's probably the first receiver off the board. But I do like Matthew Golden either under 17.5, which is juice minus 165, or under 16.5, which is minus 135 if you shop around. I don't see him getting past Dallas at 12, man. Like, look at that depth chart. I love CeeDee Lamb, but who's wide receiver number two? Turpin? So, like, CeeDee Lamb is going to see a ton of bracket coverage, double teams. And I like Jake Ferguson, but I think Dallas is going to have to go out and get a wide receiver in this draft. So I think that McMillan's the first off the board, but I do like Golden, you know, to go before pick 15, to be honest with you. I think those guys are for sure first rounders. After that, maybe Ibuka later on to Green Bay, but yeah, I think Tet's the first one taken, and then Golden goes shortly after, preferably to Dallas, because I have a couple bets on that.
All right, Ryan, real quick, in about like 30 to 40 seconds, tell us who you think your Green Bay Packers are taking with their first pick. What position group do you think they're going after?
I think it should be a defensive back, any defensive back, because we have no idea what's up with Jair Alexander, if he's even going to be on this roster. Their big offseason addition was Nate Hobbs, but he's more of a slot corner, and I have no idea who DB number two would be. But man, I'm kind of buying into this that they could actually take a wide receiver. It went from 8-1 to 6-1 this morning. I do think that they like Ibuka. There's been two or three mock drafts that have them taking Golden. That would be a loser for me because then he would go after pick 17.5, of course. But I could see them going receiver just because Dobbs is not a number one. Watson's not healthy coming into the season. So who's your number one or your number two, dude? Is it Dontavian Wicks? So I think this could be the year that they go wide receiver, and it would piss me off, Peach, because, you know, years ago I wanted T. Higgins. Every year I want, like, a stud receiver. Watch, this year in a weak receiver class, they'll go receiver off the board first. So I think the value is at 6-1 right now. Packers to take a wide receiver.
All right, I like it. And then, Ryan, real quick, about 30 seconds, give us the rest of your card for draft night, some of your favorite bets that you like.
All right, Peach, real quick, man. These are the ones that I sent you, and I like these ones quite a bit. Some of the prices, or actually, all these are still here. So 49ers to draft a defensive lineman or an edge rusher, plus 125. The Raiders to go offensive line, plus 200. Packers wide receiver, 6-1. I'm with you on the under 2.5 quarterbacks. I also grabbed it at plus 310, and then I came back around at plus 102 this morning. I think all those are really good bets. Those are probably my favorite right now.
Absolutely. Love it. There you go. Ryan Horvath. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at Ryan Horvath. Check out BetMGM tonight every Monday, every weekday, Monday through Friday, right here on the BetMGM Network, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And make sure you watch it, especially tomorrow. Ryan will have you set. Everything going on, live reacting to the entire draft. Ryan, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the draft tomorrow.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Peach. Go O's, go Caps tonight.
Yes, sir. Hope so. Ryan Horvath, join us here on Send It In. All right, guys, let's continue talking NFL draft here on Send It In. Going to look at the Peach mock draft, right? Top 10 picks. And at this point, we kind of already know what the top four are. I think if anybody doesn't have these top four picks as the top four, you're just trying to be different at this point. We know Cam Ward's going one to Tennessee. He's minus 10,000 to go to the Titans, so we know he's going there. Travis Hunter, we know he's going two to Cleveland. He's minus 2,000. Abdul Carter would probably be the one that maybe doesn't happen of the top four, but again, I think he's going to the Giants at this point. As Ryan mentioned, like, if the Giants get Abdul Carter, they arguably have the best defensive line in the NFL, maybe, with Lawrence and Burns and Thibodeau. So I think they get Carter, minus 800, and then Will Campbell, it looks like now, even though that has moved a little bit from minus 1,000 to minus 700, I think a lot of that is because of Genty moving up on boards, so Campbell's sliding a little bit, but ultimately, I think Tennessee does go with Will Campbell at minus 700, with Vrabel there now. We know he wants to build a physical football team, help protect Drake May, so I would expect Will Campbell to go number four at minus 700. Then after that, we have Mason Graham. I have Mason Graham going number five to Jacksonville at plus 240. Genty obviously is now his minus money. Feels like everybody thinks Genty is going to Jacksonville. I think from a betting perspective, though, like Ryan was kind of saying, you've missed it at this point. Genty has been plus money so long to go to the Jags. And even though it is minus 135, you really feel like that's going to happen, you want to lay some juice, then go for it. I'm not going to be that person. Instead, I'm going to be betting on the guy who's now plus 240 that for all this time we thought was going to be number five overall. For Jacksonville, like, why get Genty? I get he's going to be awesome. I think Genty's going to be great in the NFL, but you already have ETN there. You got a great wide receiver in Brian Thomas. Your defense was abysmal. You have a chance to get a really, really good defensive tackle in Mason Graham. So at plus 240, I'm willing to buy or fade all this smoke coming in, all this hype on Genty. I'll buy in on the guy who's been slotted there at number five, Mason Graham, at plus 240. Then I think Genty goes number six overall to the Raiders at plus 185. Pete Carroll's the head coach. Chip Kelly's the OC. Think Marshawn Lynch. Think LeSean McCoy. These guys are at their best when they have talented running backs. You got Geno Smith in the offseason. You got a great young tight end in Brock Bowers. Get that running back to go along with it. I think Graham goes five. Genty goes six, plus 185 to the Raiders. Then I think the Jets go and get an offensive tackle. A lot of talk about the Jets maybe getting a tight end, going defense. Do they trade back? Do they go quarterback? I think the Jets stay where they are, and they get the center Membow, or they get the offensive lineman Membow out of Missouri at plus 210. The Panthers, I've been on this for a while. I'm sticking with it. We actually have a little bit of value now. It's down to 18-1. I think the Panthers are going tight end with Tyler Warren out of Penn State. Continue to build around Bryce Young and give him weapons. Last offseason, the Panthers spent the most money of any team on the offensive line, and it certainly helped them this past year. You got Chuba Hubbard to go along with Rico Dowdle in the offseason, who Carolina got from Dallas. They obviously need weapons on the outside at receiver, but I wouldn't reach and get any of these guys at eight. I think they go tight end. Certainly could address the defense, which was the worst in the NFL last year, but I think they get Tyler Warren, continue to give Bryce Young a weapon. I think he goes there at 18-1. Then I think Kelvin Banks goes to the Saints at plus 750. Saints could go a number of different ways, right? They certainly could get a quarterback. They could trade back. They could go defense. But I think they go offensive line, regardless who the quarterback is going to be. Saints do not have a good O-line. I think they get Banks out of Texas. And then finally, I think Chicago at number 10 gets Colston Loveland at plus 450. This could go in a number of different directions, right? I think the Bears, though, on their draft board, the way that they're looking at it, it's pretty much going to be Genty, especially if he's there at 10, or it's going to be a tight end. It's going to be Warren if he's there, or it's going to be close Colston Loveland. I think at plus 650, Loveland is a guy that, again, will help out Caleb Williams. He helps you in the run game. He's a great blocker. So I think Colston Loveland goes top 10. So that's my top 10 in the NFL draft. Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, Ashton Genty, Membow, Tyler Warren, Kelvin Banks, and Colston Loveland. All right, real quick, let's talk some NBA and NHL playoffs before we get to our guy, Chase Kitty. Magic Celtics tonight, really interesting game. Boston wins. They cover the spread in game one at 12.5. Now it's down to 10.5 for game two, and the total has moved 8 points from 204.5 to what it closed in game one to 196.5 in game two. I'm betting the over. I think this is too much of an adjustment going down 8 points. Remember, the Magic and the Cavs last year in their series played in a first round series where the under continued to cash and they couldn't make the total low enough. I think odds makers are over adjusting because they made it a low total in game one. It went way under that, 103-86, but I think it's gotten too low, especially off of one game. So I like the under, no play for me on the side. Give me the Miami Heat tonight, plus 12.5 against Cleveland. Really tough spot for Miami in game one. It was their third straight playoff road game, and they pretty much hung around. You know, they were kind of, it never felt like they were going to win the game, but they were always in striking distance, especially in terms of the spread. I think now, with a couple of off days, you settle into the series, you make some adjustments. They got one of the best in the business in Spoelstra. I like Miami tonight to keep it close at plus 12.5. I also like Darius Garland over 19.5 points as well. He had 27 in game one. I think he comes back and has another big game. I think 19.5 is too low. Also like Paolo Banchero over 8.5 rebounds as well in that Celtics Magic game. Forgot to mention that prop. Banchero had 9 in the playing game against the Hawks, had 11 in the game against Boston in game one. Well, again, with the total being as low as it is at 197.5, 196.5, I think there's going to be a lot of missed shots. Banchero, a lot of rebounding opportunities. And then Warriors and Rockets. Houston now a 3.5-point favorite, and the total is down to 204.5. Again, another game where the total has dropped like 9 points from game one, and Houston is now up to a 3.5-point favorite. I agree with the market that the Rockets should be favored. I'm just betting them on the money line, though. I think this game is going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire. Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet shot the ball awful for Houston in game one, yet they still had a chance to win that game. I expect those guys to shoot the ball, play much better. So I like Houston win, just betting them, though, on the money line. And again, I like the over. I think this is too much of an adjustment from game one. So give me over 204.5 in Rockets and Warriors. NHL playoffs, Caps and Canadiens. too good of a money line price on Montreal not to take him at plus 165. As you guys know, follow the show, I am a Caps fan. Outside of their Stanley Cup year, they're always choking and breaking our hearts here in D.C. They escaped game one with an overtime win. They did not look great in that third period. Montreal is a very young team. Once they kind of settled in, they were even, if not better, than the Caps for much of the rest of the game. I would expect them to carry that in to game two. Think it's too good of a price to pass up, so I like Canadiens at plus 165. I also like the Dallas Stars at plus 145. Stars obviously have injuries in this series. Colorado very easily could be up 2-0. And I just think going home tonight, everybody expects the Avs to roll. But in playoff hockey, I like betting into that stuff. When people just assume that, oh, a team's going home, they're going to win, they're going to roll, that's when you bet the underdog. I like the Stars at plus 145. And then give me the LA Kings tonight against Edmonton as well. I like the Kings in this series. I liked them in game one. I like them in game two as well. I think the market's telling you something here, right? You have a team in Edmonton who made it to the cup last year with arguably the best player in the world in McDavid, who lost game one. You would think they'd be desperate and the market would react like they are to the Rockets tonight in that game too, but they're not. The Kings are the same price as they were in game one at minus 125. I think there's reason for that. I think LA wins again tonight against Edmonton. All right, let's get to our guy now, Chase Kitty, who joins us on the Glasser guest line, writer for BetMGM. Make sure you guys are following Chase on X at Chase A. Kitty. Chase, let's start with that Warriors and Rockets game, man, because from a betting standpoint, so fascinating. The total is down like 9 points from game one. The Rockets spread is up like 3.5 points against a team that we know, obviously, is plenty of playoff pedigree, plenty of experience. What do you make of this game? Side total, any props that you like as well?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes almost boring talking sports with you, PJ, because you and I have the exact same thoughts at the exact same time about the exact same games. So I had the same thought about how to bet this game, that it's the Rockets side. I don't really want to lay the points. I'd rather have the minus 160 on the money line. So, like, we're lockstep there, kind of as usual. I think the thing to be concerned about from our perspective, though, is a lot of times when you're talking about the zigzag nature of betting the NBA playoffs and you have a home team that loses game one, you're going to get that extra performance in game two because now they're behind the meta of the home court advantage. You know they need to win that or else they're going to go down 0-2 and then go on the road to the lower seed. So you know that it's a desperate spot. I think the thing that I struggle with is a team like the Rockets, the reason you'd be wary of them is that they are so young. So do they understand that on a veteran level? Or is it more of just a recursive, like, let's just go out there and play game two, and they don't fully understand the historical nature of that desperation? I think that would be the case for Golden State. In general, this series, I just think the Warriors are minus 400 now taking a 1-0 lead. That is crazy to me. There is so much market overexposure at this point on the Golden State side of it just because they won game one of a 7-game series. Your shooting regression point is exactly right. I like the Rockets tonight. I think I've even gotten to the point where I'm willing to lay the points just in the last 90 minutes or so looking at the game. I do think there is runway to bet the Rockets in a lot of different ways tonight, and I think it's going to Golden State 1-1.
Chase, that's a great point about the series price, man. I mean, sometimes you see some of these series just overreact after one game. Great value there on Houston if you like them to bounce back. Want to get your thoughts on some other series that are tied up right now, 1-1. Certainly this Pistons-Knicks series, very fascinating. The Pistons very easily, Chase, could be up 2-0 in this series. Instead, it's 1-1. They go back to Detroit for game three. Pretty much a pick 'em in that market. How do you see game three playing out? How do you see the rest of this series playing out? Because again, Chase, I mean, you just watched the first two games, man. Detroit looks like the better team.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it a little bit last week. You can go back and listen to last Wednesday's Send It In podcast. I mean, I just totally disagreed with the idea that the Knicks were going to roll the Pistons because of the experience thing. Oh, the Knicks have been here before. They had a nice playoff run. It's a great story for Detroit, but now that they're in the playoffs, these young guys, they don't have the experience. They're going to crash out. That is true in a macro sense with deep runs in the playoffs, with who wins the NBA Finals or who wins the conferences. That's not always true for first-round series. So I thought that, just like I was talking about the Warriors with the Rockets, it seems like the market's way overexposed in one direction. I still think that's true in this Knicks-Pistons series. The Knicks, even now, even after we watched the first two games, you know, they haven't played two games in the Rocket series yet. We have played two games in the New York series. It's going back to Detroit tied 1-1. The Knicks are minus 200 favorites. That's a crazy price to me. I think you're going to probably see, like, will I be surprised if this goes seven and the Knicks pull it out in the Garden? Sure. That's not like a totally unforeseeable outcome. But the Pistons are still probably not getting enough market respect here. There's a ton. I mean, I think they're the deeper team. I think there's a ton of prop angles here. So it remains to me one of the most fascinating series to watch and to handicap. And I think one of the themes of this playoffs that we're going to see throughout the first round and into the second round is there are older, more established teams that are getting way too much credit in the betting markets. And by going against that, you find a lot of value, and a lot of these bets are going to hit.
Chase, in about 30 seconds, just a thought from you on Lakers-Minnesota. That series tied up 1-1, super fascinating series. What do you make of that heading into Game 3?
Well, I mean, that's another one that I think there was a lot of respect for the Lakers before the series started. The difference with that series is it's basically a toss-up now if you look at the market. So the market has come back to Minnesota and acknowledged, okay, this is going to be a tighter series than we thought. Last week I talked about the Rudy Gobert rebounds angle. Again, I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but you can go back and listen to PJ's podcast if you want to hear the whole spiel. I think that was dead on. I'm not saying that to take a victory lap. I'm saying there's still ways to bet that. You can't get the series-long stat future now, but you can bet game-to-game Gobert under rebound props as Doncic piles up a lot of big rebound stats and Gobert does not. You're going to see lots of individual prop angles game-to-game.
Absolutely love it. Chase Kidde, always great to have him on, writer for BetMGM. Make sure you check out his work on X at Chase A. Kidde. Chase, always great having you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Peach.
Absolutely. All right, guys, promo from our friends at BetMGM, the NBA Playoff Odds Boost token. Make a fast break for the action with an NBA Playoff Odds Boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, time to look at our golf card for the Zurich Classic before we check in with our guy, Jake Kassan. Guys, going to be honest with you, after the last 2 weeks with the Masters and the RBC, two awesome finishes this week, especially with all the sports going on, not all that great. It's a small card for us. We like the Postman, JT Poston, and Keith Mitchell at 16-1. I think their combo, Keith, great off the tee, great iron game, Poston, one of the best putters on tour. They would be a team to watch at 16-1. And then you talk about vibes. Joel Damon, Harry Higgs, 80-1. Sign me up. If you didn't see it, Joel Damon had an epic collapse in Puerto Rico this past week. He bogeyed like his final three holes. Wouldn't it be sports? Wouldn't it be golf for him to come back, play really well? So I'll take them at 80-1. Give me Poston and Mitchell as well, top 10. And then the Canadian boys, Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, best friends, know each other's games really well. I like them. And then Charlie Hoffman, Nick Watney, five of the last 7 years, they have finished in the top 20. You can get them at plus 350. So I like them as well. All right, let's go to our guy, Jake Cassano, who's the Bet Slips and Bat Flips, which you can catch coming up here in a little over 2 minutes, 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Jake, need some therapy on my Baltimore Orioles, bro. Is the sky falling? It ain't looking good right now.
PJ, it's not looking great for Baltimore, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really like this team coming into the year because of the pitching situation. And we talked about it last week. Charlie Morton was a heavy favorite. And anyway, we talked about this on Sunday when I was on with you on Inside the Betting Lines, which you can find here on the BetMGM Network. But same thing today. Like, how was Dean Kramer ever a minus 135 favorite yesterday? I don't know. I bet the Nationals money line. So for me, it was really great.
Yeah, really great, Jake. I'm going back to the game again tonight. Really looking forward to it. The game I wish I was at was Dodgers-Cubs last night, because my God, was that epic. Tonight, man, I mean, this series, Jake, what are your thoughts on this one tonight? It's a pickup, minus 110 each way.
Yeah, I bet the Cubs yesterday, so that was extremely tilting, and I was very scared on the edge of my seat all game long. I am going to address that at the top of my show on Bet Slips and Bat Flips a little bit, but I'm going to go back to the Cubs. You have to go back to the well after that win. They're going to be feeling themselves today. The Dodgers are going to be bullpenning this thing. I am perfectly fine taking the Cubs again. They have the juice right now.
Love it. Jake, real quick, tell us what you got coming up on the show.
PJ, we're going to go through the full card, and we're going to dive into NL MVP because Shohei Ohtani, I think, is a vulnerable favorite. When was the last time we were able to say that?
Ooh, all right. There you go. Coming up again in about 2 minutes, Jake Hassan. Bet slips and bat flips. Jake, have a great show.
Always appreciate you, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here. Send it in. Wrap up the show with our favorite plays of the day. B Mills, appreciate the comment in the chat, as always, my friend. And I'm glad that you're in agreement with me that you also think the Genty smoke screen is too much and that the Jags are maybe going to get a defensive player. I love it. Think the Mason Graham value is really good at this point at plus 240. As for going streaking, we've been on fire. We had a 9-hit streak. Now we got a 5. It's going to 6 because Bryce Harper's facing David Peterson tonight, and he's 8-for-21 in his career against Peterson. So give me Bryce Harper in going streaking. As I told you guys, Paolo Banchero, over 8.5 rebounds, going to be my prop lock. 9 in the play-in game against the Hawks, 11 in game 1, and with the total under 200, very defensive game, a lot of missed shots. Give me Banchero, over 8.5 rebounds. Give me the Heat as my dog of the day, plus 12.5. I just trust Spoelstra in the Heat to bounce back. And then the Los Angeles Kings on the money line is going to be my best bet tonight. Take a 2-0 series lead over the Oilers. Thanks again to Ryan Horvath, Chase Kitty, Jake Hassan for joining us today on the show. See you guys tomorrow for draft day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.